All right. Welcome back, Bumber Up Brothers and Sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And today we're going to get back into our study of sin, study number 19. It's the third study in our letter S in the alphabet. And as we go back into it, just recapping just a little bit, we talked about definitions of sin, if you remember, and what sin was or is scripturally. That was the last thing that we talked about on our last study, was what is sin? What is it? And we went over those, and some of them just to remind you and refresh your memory, you probably already have looked over them, but coming short of the glory of God. The transgression of the law of God is sin. All unrighteousness, the Bible says, is sin. And knowing to do good and doing it not is sin. And the thought of foolishness, whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. And a high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Having respect of persons and rebellion and stubbornness is sin. It's as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says, rebellion is. Disobedience to God is sin, and backsliding is sin. Once we start growing in the Lord, you have no reason to backslide, because the closer you get to God, the more you love Him and the more you want to cling to Him. You don't want to get away from the Lord. Only reason people run from the Lord is because they got something to hide, or they got something that no, He wouldn't be pleased with. And it's not going to get along, because God never compromises or makes concessions for sin. He doesn't put up with that mess, and He doesn't expect us to put up with it either. And He tells us to put it away. Speaking against God is sin. Despising one's neighbor is sin, according to the scriptures in Proverbs, and not believing in Jesus Christ as one's Savior is sin. And you say, well, what kind of sin is it? Well, it's sin bad enough that it'll put you in the lake of fire for not believing in Christ's Son, the Lord Jesus, not believing in the Lord's Son, Jesus Christ, if you don't believe on Him as your Savior, the Lord's going to put you in the lake of fire. And that's the bottom line, period. And that's what the Bible says. So sin is pretty serious, wouldn't you say? Especially when we're talking about talking about a time span of eternity and never going to get out and never going to be pardoned. And never going to be paroled. There's something to that. You ought to think about that if you're not saved. And you ought to think about it if you are saved, what the Lord has saved you from. Today we're going to get into another topic of our study of sin. And we're going to start out about some sin and looking at some scriptural words related to sin in the scriptures that the scriptures use. And comparing scripture with scripture. The first word that's in the scriptures when sin comes into a subject in the scriptures is transgression. Transgression is used in the scriptures to describe sin and to name sin a lot of times, and the Lord uses it, and instead of saying sin, He says transgression. And what is transgression? Well, it's the act of passing over or beyond any law or rule of moral duty, the violation of a law or known principle of rectitude. It's a breach of command. It's a fault, an offense, a crime, an overstepping of the law. Transgression. Now, all of these, like I said, are going to steer us back to the subject of sin. They're words that are related to sin that are used in the scriptures. Transgression. Well, where does it say transgression, for an example, in the scriptures? Romans chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the multitude of Adam's transgression." who is the figure of him that was to come. You see, transgression, talking about Adam's sin, and the Lord called it a transgression right there, even after he used the word sin. He said, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. You see, transgression is referred to in the Scriptures and related to sin in the Scriptures. Another one is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. The Scripture says there, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we read that yesterday, we read that on our last study. And, of course, we see there that transgression and transgresseth are words that are used to describe or to be related to sin in our Bibles. Leviticus chapter 16 in the Old Testament, chapter 16 and verse 16, the Bible says, along with verse 21, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And Aaron shall lay both hands upon the head of the live goat. Now, you remember this is where the Lord is describing the scapegoat. Excuse me. And Aaron shall lay both hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Transgression is a word that's related to sin in the Scriptures. That's not all. What else is related to sin? Well, unrighteousness. The Bible uses the word unrighteous and unrighteousness, and it is related to sin. To sin. What's unrighteousness mean? Now, all of these have they're similar in definition because they lead us back to sin and are related to sin. So you're going to hear some similarities in all the definitions. Unrighteousness means injustice. A violation of divine law. See, that was part of a definition in transgression. Excuse me. Injustice, a violation of divine law, or of the plain principles of justice and equity. Wickedness. Unrighteousness may consist of a single unjust act, but more generally, when applies to persons, it denotes a habitual course of wickedness. Unrighteousness is not just a transgression or just a sin. It means that it's a repetition of sins. Applied to persons, it denotes a habitual course of wickedness. You just keep on sinning. Unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. Well, where's that found in the Scriptures? Well, let's look at a few of them. Romans chapter 1 and verse 6 says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. That's not the one I wanted to read. Let's see here. I put these things down and confuse myself sometimes. 2 Corinthians, that's what, there it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Unrighteousness is a word, a scriptural word, that's related to sin in the Scriptures, that's used in the Scriptures by the Holy Ghost. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is a good chapter for you to read. Like I said, we're going to read these chapters, but we'll read them as we go through when it's time to read them. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the entire chapter talks about unrighteousness, and you can glean a lot of truth about unrighteousness and how it's related to sin in that scripture. In that chapter, I mean. Now, every transgression of the law is unrighteousness. All right, what else? Not only transgression and unrighteousness, but iniquity. Iniquity means injustice. Unrighteousness. You see how these are similar to one another, but iniquity. A deviation from rectitude. Want of rectitude in principle. A particular deviation from rectitude. A sin or crime. Wickedness. Any act of injustice. Your iniquities have separated you from your God, the Bible says. We can find that in Isaiah chapter 59. And the Bible says, original want of holiness or depravity. The Bible says, I was shapen in iniquity. Psalm 51. Psalm chapter 51, the Bible talks about that. An act inherently wrong or forbidden. We're talking about iniquity. Iniquity being a word in the scriptures that's related to sin. Okay. Another one is evil. Everybody knows the word evil. Isn't that interesting that all you got to do is add a D to the front of that, and that's called devil? Isn't that something? Evil. What is evil? To be unjust or injurious. To defraud. Having bad qualities or of a natural kind, mischievous, having qualities which tend to injury or to produce mischief. Some evil beast hath devoured him. Remember the scriptures talk about that in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 37. Having bad qualities of a moral kind, wicked, corrupt, perverse, wrong. As evil thoughts, evil deeds, evil speaking, evil generation, unfortunate, unhappy, producing sorrow, distressed, injury, or calamity. Evil's a pretty bad thing, isn't it? As evil tidings, evil arrows, evil days. Evil is natural or moral evil. Natural evils, anything which produces pain, distress, loss or calamity, or which in any way disturbs the peace or impairs the happiness or destroys the perfection of natural beings. Now, moral evil is a little different than natural evil. Moral evil is any deviation from a moral agent from the rules of conduct prescribed to him by God. Or by legitimate human authority. Or it's any violation of the plain principles of justice and rectitude. There's also evils called civil evils, which affect injuriously the peace or prosperity of a city or state. Isn't it funny how evil is a word that goes all the way from God, all the way down through humanity, and even through humanity's legal system, and even human beings use the word evil in their everyday living and stuff like that. Where was I? There's political evils, which injure a nation in its public capacity. All wickedness, all crimes, all violations of law and right are moral evils. Diseases are natural evils, but they often proceed from moral evils. Like the Lord says that be assured your sins will find you out. And sometimes your sins will cause you to get diseases and all sorts of things like that because of your sins. It's not because you just got unlucky. It's because of your sins that would cause you to do those things, like AIDS and things like that. Diseases are natural evils, but they often proceed from moral evils, misfortune or mischief or injury. There shall be no evil befall thee, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 91. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. There's another scripture in Proverbs chapter 22. Talk about depravity, corruption of heart, a disposition to commit wickedness, malignity. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Malady, contracted to ill, not well, not with justice or propriety, unsuitable. All this has to do with evil. Evil it beseems thee, not virtuously, not innocently, not happily, unfortunately. It went evil with the house, injuriously, not kindly. In composition, evil denoting something bad or wrong, and often contracted to ill. Evil got a pretty good range of definition, doesn't it? Evil. So not only transgression, we're talking about words related to sin in the scriptures. Transgression. Now society doesn't use that word as much as before, transgression. But the scriptures haven't changed. Unrighteousness, you'll not hear that in society much. Iniquity, you'll not hear men speak that. Now evil, you will hear. A lot of times you'll hear evil spoken in society still because man uses that. But that is a word used in scriptural, used in the scriptures that's related to sin. What else? Well, trespass. Trespass. What's trespass mean? Well, it means beyond, to pass. In other words, you go farther than you're supposed to, or that you're allowed. Now, literally, to pass beyond. Hence, primarily, to pass over the boundary line of another's land. To enter unlawfully upon the land of another. A man may trespass by walking over the ground of another, and the law gives a remedy for damages sustained. Another definition of trespass is to commit any offense or to do any act that injures or annoys another. To violate any rule of rectitude to the injury of another. We find some examples of that in 1 Kings chapter 8. And not only that, but Luke chapter 17 verse 3 and 4. And in Luke 17:3-4, the Bible says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Trespass is a word used in the scriptures that's related to sin. Transgression, unrighteousness, iniquity, evil, trespass. And also we find depravity and original sin. Now, what does that mean? You'll hear depravity spoken of and original sin, speaking of man, having to do with sin, the total depravity of man, that he cannot help but sin or be a sinner. He is. It's not what he has done, it's what he is. A definition of it is corruption, a vitiated state, as the depravity of manners and morals, a vitiated state of the heart, wickedness, corruption of moral principles, destitute of holiness or good principles, corrupted, debased, debauched, deflowered, demoralized, depraved, diminished, impaired, invalidated, lessened, marred, misdirected, perverted, polluted, profaned, spoilt, subverted, voided, weakened. Talking about depravity or original sin. All these are related to sin, to the word sin in the scriptures. The total depravity of mankind is a state that every human is cursed with no way for him to escape by his own effort. The state has this state that we're talking about here and defining has affected man's standing with God. He no longer has the ability to approach God or communicate with him because he's in a fallen nature. The only way man's standing and state with God can be changed is by bloodshed, the Bible says. The blood has to be innocent blood to be accepted by God as a payment for man's sins that are the result of his fallen nature. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, offered himself for this payment, for all of man's state and standing, and man through him and his death, burial, and resurrection can be reconciled to God. Praise the Lord. When it comes to depravity and original sin, it is not what man has done, it's what man is. Not necessarily his behavior, but his being. Without God's intervention, man cannot be reconciled to God. A dog does not bark to become a dog. He barks because he is a dog. A cat does not meow to become a cat. He meows because he is a cat. Man does not sin to become a sinner. He sins because he is a sinner. Where there is a man, since Adam, there is depravity and sin. You see how that word relates to sin? Depravity. It describes man to a T in his complete essence. Man has a problem admitting that. And until you get saved, until you come to the truth, until you understand what God says, that's why people don't read that book and read that Bible, because that Bible knows you and it tells you what you are. And unless you're willing to accept the truth about yourself and take your place among sinners, then you're going to be out there with the ungodly and unregenerate, and you're going to die in your sins and you're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. It tells us the truth about ourselves. What else are words used in the scriptures? Now, depravity and original sin weren't used in there, but they are related in that they are related to the to our study of sin. What else? Error. Error. Now, that word is one that's used in the scriptures. It's found in James chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible says, "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." You see, error. And, of course, it's in the same verse. The Holy Ghost uses it in the same verse where he's talking about sins, multitude of sins. 2 Peter chapter 2:18, the Bible says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantingness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error." talking about people that are being tempted by vain and vanity and swelling words, and tries to fish them back into wickedness and living in error like they are. Also, in 2 Peter there, in chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." A warning there, talking about sin, talking about error. Error. It would be an error for any one of us to fall from our steadfastness by following the wicked. And we're supposed to beware of these things, the error of the wicked. 1 John chapter 4, the Bible talks about error. It says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." You see, error. And it's related to sin in the scriptures. Related to sin. Words that are related to sin. Another one, and what have we been over already? Well, we've talked about transgression. We've talked about unrighteousness. We've talked about iniquity and evil. We also talked about trespass and depravity and original sin. And the last one was error. But that's not all. Lawlessness. Lawlessness. You say lawlessness? Yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers." Lawlessness, which is spiritual anarchy. Unbelief is a word that is used that's related to sin in the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." You see, an evil heart having to do with sinful things. An evil heart, only people that are dabbling in sin are going to have evil hearts that they're following, that is, of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. What is unbelief? Well, it's an insult to the divine veracity of God, the truth, the habitual regard for the truth. God is habitually truthful. And unbelief is roundabout, in a roundabout way, calling God a liar. We all have to believe God. Those that come unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So there we go. Just a few words that we wanted to run across. We defined some things before that and went over what is sin. And we just got through talking about some scriptural words related to sin. Transgression, unrighteousness, iniquity, you'll see in your Bible. Evil is related to sin. And trespass, you'll see that many times in the scriptures. And depravity, and original sin, whenever you are in study and you come across the depravity of man and start studying about man and original sin and things like of that nature, you're going to come across depravity and original sin when it has to do with man's sin and his state and why he needs the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about error, and we also talked about lawlessness and unbelief. And unbelief. All right, well, moving right along. What are some worldly substitutes for referencing sin? Now, we've seen what the scriptures use for other words that are related to sin, but what are some substitutes that the world uses for referencing sins? They're getting some of the silliest ones that nowadays in 2023, fiction will be 2024. This world is really coming up with some Looney Tune references when it comes to sin and making very, very light of sin. That sin is kind of a plaything. It's something that you'd find in a romper room in a Sunday school class for the toddlers. There it is. There's the sin over there. Go play with it. Kind of like something that's not harmful, just something that's there, you know. The world's mastered the art of replacing scriptural words to minimize the severity of the issue the Lord's referencing in His Word when He talks about sin. You can change the label of anything, but that doesn't change the content. Sin is sin. And calling sin by another name or any other godforsaken lies drummed up by the psychologists from the depraved work of the degenerate Sigmund Freud, remember him? Boy, he sure brought in a bunch of garbage. And his admirers does not change anything in God's eyes. God says sin is sin. And ever since the beginning, God has not changed His mind one bit about it. Here are some samples of what the world's naming and renaming sin. It doesn't change a thing, though. You get into psychology and psychologists and the books that they read and the literature that they read and study nowadays, boy, it just gets more and more and more confusing and just as upside down as can be. There's no simplicity in it at all, or it's all confusion and no understanding in it when it comes to understanding what God's talking about when it comes to sin. This is conversation and things that you can converse with one another without bringing up sin and its severity and what God says you're going to get paid back for. Be assured your sins will find you out. Just avoiding all of that God stuff, we can talk about some problems about the sin, but they don't name it sin. They call it privation. They call it mistakes. They call it a lack of adjustment. They call it a lack of appreciation of value. They call it total thrust. I don't know what in the world that would mean. They call it a faux pas. I made a boo-boo. They call it dynamic concept. They call it fault areas of integration. You're having problems integrating with society and the new age and the new this, that, and the other. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, remember? They call it ethological communications of dialogue. They call it estrangement from God. Well, God's just not listening to you anymore. He's separated Himself from you. That's not all He's done. He's got plans for you, buddy, if you reject Jesus Christ. Don't you fool yourself. They call it concept of reality. That's a good one, isn't it? That they would speak or even mention reality. Lack of God consciousness. A failure to adjust. They call it a default. Talking about referencing sin. And there's many, many more. And they get sillier and sillier and sillier. And you have to have an education to be able to understand what somebody's talking about nowadays from where they got their education. because the scriptures sure don't talk like they talk. You know, a good example of the different outlooks concerning sin and referencing sin is found by examining what is meant when the saved and the unsaved remark that they want to live in a sinless society. And what they mean by that, you know, I mean, even the unregenerate and the unsaved say that they want to live in a world of peace. You remember John Lennon, imagine there's no heaven, and he goes on singing about peace and blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blab, and then somebody put a bullet in him. And I wonder where John is right now. Imagine there's no heaven and there's no hell below us. And then he goes on singing about his fairy tales and all that kind of jazz, and then he dies. Now, where is he now? Where is he now, would you say? You think he would have something different to say? You know, the unregenerate and the regenerate, the saved and the unsaved, they look at a sinless society in two different ways. Let me share them with you. Here's the saved. Here's what the saved mean when they're talking about a sinless society. When God's people, the saved, say they want to live in a sinless society, they're speaking of the blessed hope, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take over the world and rule it for 1,000 years under His government, headquartered in Jerusalem. Now, before His return, the born-again saints will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord and be changed into immortal beings and will forever be with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Listen to this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly what we just got through talking about. Who shall change our vile body. That's an interesting word, an interesting outlook of bodies, as much as they worship each other's bodies and put them on front of magazines and billboards and spend billions and billions of dollars every year on things to make that body lustful. Who shall change our vile body, the Bible says, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. He's going to change us. He's going to take us out of here. And all this decay and all of this depraved business. And He's going to change us and give us a new body. And we're going to become immortal beings instead of mortals. We're going to put on the terrestrial, as to put on the celestial and all that stuff. We're going to be like Jesus. And we're going to be changed and get new bodies that are fashioned like unto His glorious body. This is what the Bible, this is what people that are saved are referencing when they're talking about a sinless society, is when Jesus comes back and sits on David's throne, literally, in a literal city, on a literal throne, in a literal temple, in literal Jerusalem, and rules literally the entire earth with a rod of iron. And we're going to help Him. The Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Him. If we suffer with Him, we shall also We shall also reign with Him, I think the Bible says. But one of those verses, I might have boogered that one up, but not on purpose. Now listen to what the unregenerate, the lost, think whenever they're talking about. They get into all that, all them words that they reference sin and all this and change everything around and kind of sugarcoat it and make it sound all good. But just get sin and get God, too much God and all this stuff. Whenever they're talking about a sinless society, when God's enemies, the unregenerate and unsaved and the lost, say they want to live in a sinless society, here's what they mean. They mean a world where no one speaks out about another's sins and right and wrong. Nobody talks about right and wrong, and nobody talks about somebody else's sins. Anything goes as long as another's rights to his sins are not violated in some way. In other words, you don't make a big deal about my sins, and I don't make a big deal about your sins, and we just sin and sin and sin and sin, and we don't talk about right and wrong, and we don't put one another down about our sins. That's their sinless society, that you don't bring it up. You getting this? It's true, isn't it? Why, sure it is. If you're unsaved, that's the kind of society you want. Because you're going to sin, and you want to sin, and you just love your sin. And you want to sin, but you don't want nobody to point that finger. And you don't want nobody to bring up God. And you don't want nobody to say anything about right and wrong. Because you don't want your conscience violated or to be offended by your sin that you love and you're going to live in. That's the lost's idea of a sinless society. Don't bring it up. But that's not the saved people's idea of a sinless society. A sinless society for the saved and the regenerated is indeed sinless. And that's what we're going to be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to get us. Praise his wonderful name. All right. Well, I think we're going to stop right there instead of starting another topic. In recapping, we've talked about several things this study. We've talked about words that are related to sin. Transgression, unrighteousness, iniquity, evil, trespass, depravity or original sin. That's not spoken in the scriptures, but it is related to sin, and it is a truth about man that is studied and talked about by the Holy Ghost. Error, lawlessness, and unbelief. And then we talked about worldly substitutes that the world comes up with this matter of sin. Remember what we're studying, our base study, our study is sin. And what the world thinks of referencing sin and what they call it. All kind of crazy things and comical things and things that should be put in the comic strips and the newspapers and stuff. You know, that kind of business. But then we also talked about the differences in what unsaved and saved people talk about whenever they are referencing a sinless society. They think they're going to bring in the kingdom, and they're going to bring in peace. Brother, the Bible says there's going to be three more world wars coming to your area soon. The Lord says in the scriptures there's going to be three more world wars. And you think man's going to really, really, really show one another peace and live under true peace? What man means by peace now is just don't talk about good and bad and get God as far away from society as you possibly can. That's what he means. So, we'll stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures for today. And we're kind of just doing all the groundwork for our study on sin. It's good stuff, though, isn't it? Good stuff. Not the subject, but like I said, I'd rather not even talk about sin. But, you know, being who we are and what we are, we can't help but acknowledge it. And the scriptures talk about it, and we need to talk about it and find out what the Lord says about it. But let me give you the scriptures that we've used for today, and some of them are chapters that we haven't read the chapters yet, but I'm going to give them to you so you know what they're talking about. We talked about scriptural words related to sin. Here are the scriptures for that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 16 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is a chapter. Isaiah chapter 59 is a chapter. Psalm chapter 51. And we read Psalm chapter 51 verse 9. And some other chapters, or Genesis chapter 37, having to do with scriptural words related to sin. Find my place again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 59, Psalm chapter 51, and then Genesis chapter 37, Psalm chapter 91, Proverbs chapter 22, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 1 Kings chapter 8. And then we read Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4, about the Lord saying, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, remember that." And then some more chapters, 2 Chronicles chapter 28, Ezra chapter 10, Matthew chapter 6, Colossians chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 2. And just a few more here. James chapter 5, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. All of this has to do with scriptural words related to sin and the worldly substitutes that they come up with, and scriptures that refer to that kind of stuff. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And the last one that we read today was Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Well, praise the Lord. I think we'll stop right there, brothers and sisters. And I know we didn't get into a lot of meat having to do with this, but knowing what the scriptures the ABCs of Christian growth, and the simplicity of Christ is what we want to study. And the Lord says that His Word is written in such a way to where 5- and 6-year-olds can read it and understand it. And they can. And they can. I've had, running a troubled men's ministry where drunkards and drug addicts and just any kind of man that had troubles and things like that, sin nature, you know, they would come, and it was for a year program, and they would come in. And I've seen men that came in, and we would have 4 classes a day, 4 hours of Bible study per day, every day, and then 1 hour in the evening, 5 hours of Bible class they got every day for an entire year. And I've seen men come in there that could not read. And we would just help them along in the scriptures, and I'd have the men read in class God's Word, and that's all we used was God's Word and honored His Word. And I've seen men learn how to read from God's Word. I've seen that with my own eyes. And there wasn't no phonics in it, hooked on phonics. It was just God's Word. So the Bible says God's Word liveth, and it does, doesn't it? You better believe it does. Amen. All right, well, we'll stop right there, and I thank you so much. The Lord bless you for studying God's Word and joining in with us. And I know you fight the enemy every single time you come to get around God's Word or fellowship, or especially any time you're going to come around God's Word on purpose to learn something, the devil's going to give you some trouble. Just expect attack. Expect the enemy to do that, and just disregard him, rebuke him, and submit to God. And once you get into it, he'll have to flee from you.
He's scared of God's word, because he knows it's true, and every word of it is going to come to pass the way Jesus said it would. So I love you with Christ's love, and thank you for studying. And I'll talk to you on the next one. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.